Hey, hey, is Wrinkle in Time having a $100 million day with Ava DuVernay? Is Good or Bad Charlize Theron and Gringo? I don't know. You tell me. Find out. Hey, hey, hey. It's your girl, Carla Renata. We are back. The Oscars are over, honey, and we got a lot to say. But before we get to that, I know y'all want to have some fun. I know that you do. I know that you do. And you want to learn and grow in all areas of your life. But for those of you who do want to have some more fun, we got a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz founder, Maria Menounos, and is dropping every Friday on iTunes. So tell you what, go over to iTunes, subscribe to it, and let Maria know that Scott Menzel and Carla Renata told you to go over there and check her out. Again, Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Check her out. So now, we saw Wrinkle in Time. But before we get to Wrinkle in Time, I got to introduce Scott. I almost forgot. I was about to go there. I am Carla Renata, the host of Black Tomatoes. And you can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. And Scott Menzel, where can we find you?
Sure. You can find me at WeLiveEntertainment.com and across all social media. Sorry. Across all social media at The Other Scott M.
Cool.
Thank you.
Cool. Now, I started out with the $100 million thing because sure. I am so excited about the fact that Ava DuVernay, man, woman, or otherwise, is the first director to be given a $100 million budget for a major motion picture adapted from a novel. I'm so excited about that.
Okay.
So excited. Love it, love it, love it, love it. So there's that.
She deserves it.
She
is an incredible talent.
And this is the thing. So for those of you who don't know Ava's story, Ava started out as a publicist. And she started out as a publicist. So did I. So we have that in common. And she's gone from being a publicist to having these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful career moves in her directing arc or lane, I should say. She's even gone as far as to do some other things. But before we do that, I just want to show y'all, before we even talk about Wrinkle in Time, because I know there's some people around the country where the theaters may not have it yet, but I just want you to check out this little sneak peek of Wrinkle in Time, directed by Ava DuVernay and produced by Disney.
We heard a cry out in the universe.
My father's alive.
We believe he is, and we're here to help you find him.
We are in search of warriors.
Warriors who serve the good and the light in the universe.
You're kidding.
Do I look like I'm kidding?
A little.
I'm not.
I'm not.
Your father's trapped by evil energy.
It's too strong for our light.
And the only one who can stop it is you.
Be a warrior.
I love that. So, it is so wonderful to see a film so beautiful and fantastical and all of that. And to talk about Ava even more, because I love Ava, to talk about her even more, Ava DuVernay even has her own Barbie doll, y'all. I think she is the first.
Does?
Yes. Yes. Ava DuVernay has a Barbie doll.
I did not know that.
Yes. Mattel went to her and said, we want to have this Barbie doll that we made of you. And it is fantabulous. And if you look at the picture, looks just like her. Isn't that fabulous?
That
and she's
sitting
in her little Barbie doll is sitting in a little director's chair. I love that. I love that. I love her Barbie doll sitting in a director's chair with her legs crossed. It's fantabulous. And she also, but when Ava first hit the scene, she hit the scene with this really little known film called Middle of Nowhere. And it was a great, 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 great picture. Great picture. Loved it, loved it, loved it. But let's go ahead and finish talking about Wrinkle in Time. Let's just get on into it.
Okay.
Now, I loved this about Wrinkle in Time. I love that it is a fantastical journey of a young woman who's kind of a nerd, trying to find her father, who we know is lost in the time sphere somewhere. I love the fact that the film addresses bullying. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I was bullied as a kid, and I love the fact that her little brother took up for her. My little brother used to take up for me, which is funny that the little brothers are trying to take up for the big sisters. Right, I thought that was funny. And I love the fact that Meg is this little girl who just, she's fearless. She, like they say in the trailer, she's a warrior. She has no fear. She goes full on into this journey that ends up being a little long in some spots, a little slow in some spots. But for the most part, I like the message of the film. I thought it lagged a little bit, but I like the message of the film. And I took a little girl with me to see it, a girl who was in middle school. She loved that movie. And case in point, before we went into the theater, she could barely have a conversation. When we came out of that theater, she was like, and I like this, and I like that. And I was like, okay, well, who were you? Because the person that came in the theater with me is not the same person that came out. So I think Wrinkle in Time will accomplish what it's setting out to accomplish, is to inspire and educate little girls. And Ava, at the screening that I went to, Ava came out and she said, this is for the 8-year-old in you. This is for the childlike part of you to tap into this. Because a lot of adults are going to see it and they're not going to get it and they're not going to want to get it. But the little kids that were there in the audience that I saw, including the little girl that was with me, they loved it.
Interesting.
I know you were going to say that.
No. Listen, I want to first, I have to say this. I think Ava is an incredible talent. From the bottom of my heart, I mean that. When I was in the press junket that day, I mean, the level of enthusiasm, the amount of passion that she presents to a room is incredible. She loves this. She loves making movies. She is just a fantastic person all around.
Absolutely.
And I loved Selma. I thought that...
Did you see 13th?
13th. I was going to say that. That was incredible. And my expectations for this movie were very high. My wife is a huge fan of this book. A lot of people are big fans of this book. And I feel like the people who are older than like 20, 21, who are fans of the book, are going to be disappointed with the movie. I hate to be the truth bomb with that, but I want to say this as well, that for her to take on this project, just in general, this book has been adapted into a film multiple times before.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Yes, it was made into a TV movie. Disney has tried this before.
Oh.
It is a very hard book, a hard story to adapt.
Well, this is the thing, not to interrupt you, but this is the thing, the thing that I got out of it,
there
was an element of it that felt very much like The Wizard of Oz to me, because with the three witches,
the three W's
and Meg and her little brother, it almost felt like they were the Tin Man, the Scarecrow and the Lion, and she was Dorothy, and they were taking her to Oz to find Glinda the Good Witch. That's what a lot of it felt like to me.
Okay.
And so that was the part that, for me as an adult, that was the part that I tapped into. So go ahead, continue.
No. I think you know, it's great. That's a great part about the show, right? And a great part about films in general.
Yeah.
Is that everyone sees a movie differently.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course.
And you know, if you haven't read a book, you're going to look at the movie a lot differently than those who have.
Right.
And it's notorious. And
yes,
very few times will a movie adaptation of a book live up to the expectations that people want.
That's true. That happened with The Color Purple.
You know,
too.
Yeah. I mean, Harry Potter is like one of the only franchises that I can think of
that lives up to it.
And even there's some things that are missing from there. But I do want to say, like I was saying initially, is that this is a very hard story to bring to life onto the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I applaud her for making all, you know, doing all she could to bring this to life.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she succeeds. The messages of this movie, the themes of this movie, 100% on point. You couldn't have done it any better.
So we agree on that.
Yeah, yeah. I think the messages are fantastic. I mean, and the interpretation of this movie and kind of like battling your, you know, the demons and kind of like standing up for what you believe in and what's for right and being a good person and being a warrior. you couldn't ask for better messages right now. Mm-hmm. In the way that the world is right now, you couldn't ask for better mm-hmm. messages. The problem with the movie is 100% the pacing of it. Like, it's just, you're hooked in the beginning. It starts off, it pretty much follows the book pretty truthfully. And then it kind of goes into, there's two characters missing. They're not that important, but there are two characters missing. And essentially what we do happen halfway through is that it becomes drawn out and it becomes boring. And I just stopped caring. I got to be honest. I wanted so much to be in love with this movie, and I was in love with the messages. I was in love with the costume design. Some of the backgrounds and the aesthetics and the worlds that we went into, beautifully shot, really like visual effects, are terrific in this movie, especially considering this is not a Marvel movie. This is not something where they spent $200, $250 million on. This is something where you spent $100. Mm-hmm. And it still looked as good as something with a bigger budget.
It was gorgeous. It was so beautiful. It was one of the most beautiful films I've seen in a minute. It was really pretty.
Yeah. But the problem with the pacing is an issue. The other problem with it is that Reese Witherspoon, Oprah, and Mindy Kaling, all of which I adore, just didn't do it for me. Like,
I liked Mindy.
I could not get past them.
Like, you saw them instead
of
the character?
I seen them. Oh. And that was a big issue. And I talked to a lot of people about it, and a lot of people felt the same way. Oh. I think when you have people, especially Oprah, I mean, that's an icon right there. And to have her kind of in this role, and given the fact that the characters are not really in it, the three W's are not in the movie that much.
No,
they're not in the book either. No, they're very small in the book.
That's so interesting. I wonder why there was so much credence given to them in the film.
Not as much, though, as you would think. The main reason to watch this movie is for the little girl, Storm mm-hmm. Reed, who I think is incredible.
But let's bring it back
around to the kids.
Let's bring it around. I'm glad you mentioned Storm, because the little boy that plays her brother,
I don't, and
my bad for not remembering his name, but he steals the movie for me.
You think so?
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Without a doubt. That little boy,
right?
He steals the movie. He was the bomb.com.
Yeah.
Let me find his.
I'll look it up for you.
He was the bomb.com. That little boy, he was the amount of dialogue that he had to do.
Derek McCabe.
Derek McCabe, honey. Let me just tell you something. As Oprah has said to many people on her series, your future is so bright it burns my eyes. That little boy, oh my God, he was crazy. His comedic timing was impeccable. For somebody to be that young and have that kind of timing, you either have that in your blood, in your DNA, or you don't. I'm looking forward to some really wonderful things from him. So we kind of have, we agree on some things with Wrinkle in Time and some things we don't, but it's going
to
be
so
out
like,
there.
What, I mean, I don't know if you want to try to do this. I always do like a rating. Like, I don't know if you want to do like a, if you do
yeah,
that. Like,
yeah, we could do that. But not on this movie, we're not. So sad.
One more thing. You have to mention Chris Pine in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Pine was so
He did a great job. He was really, the range of what he was doing was really fantabulous. Yes. It was
every,
fabulous.
And again, it's funny because when the costumes are there, when Storm's on set, when Derek's on set, like when you're focused on them, the movie kind of becomes this like next level.
Yeah.
And especially Chris Pine, you feel like this is a real movie. Like, this is a really amazing movie right now. But then like, it's just kind of like the in-between stuff where like they're going into the it and like they're trying to, you know, battle that.
Yeah.
That's where I started to lose it.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying
valleyed.
It's a bad movie.
It peaked and valleyed. It did.
Yes,
I do agree with you.
But
you on that.
Again, I have to say, Ava, you need to keep making movies. You have the passion. You have the skill. This was a very ambitious project for you to do, and I think you did the best you could with it.
Let me tell you something, Ava DuVernay. I love you. You know I love you. And your stuff would have to be busted from hell and back for me to say it was busted. So there's that.
Okay.
So we're going to, and I've said that numerous times. So let's talk about, how about you talk about Gringo? Because you got some feelings about that with Miss Charlize Theron.
Okay. So Gringo is the latest film. It's from Nash Edgerton, who is the brother of Joel Edgerton. And it is a dark comedy that's about the pharmaceutical industry. And they send David
Oyelowo.
Oyelowo. Yes. Oh, my gosh. who is an incredible actor, by the way.
He also worked with Ava on 13th and Selma.
And I want to say that he did a... Before I go into the negatives on this, I want to start off with David. And David has never done a comedy film before.
No.
And he is just terrific in this film. He elevates the movie. He elevates the script. He elevates the direction. He is just great. And I told him this when I did an interview with him a couple of days ago. I never knew that I needed to hear him sing Getting Jiggy With It, but... I don't think I can live without it now, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to ever get past that.
And I think that would be a good segue into Jennifer Lawrence in Red Sparrow. We're going to segue.
Wait. You don't want to hear anything negative about Gringo than the fact that it
no.
You don't? Oh, come on.
No. I didn't say negative, but when you start talking about getting jiggy with it, I'm like, okay, it's time to move on.
I real quick, I don't think Gringo is going to do that well. I feel like it's a mess of a movie. It has like multiple storylines going on. It wants to be an action movie. It wants to be a drama. It wants to be a satire. Charlize, I mean, you're an Oscar winner, and I know that this movie was something different for you. I feel like a lot of people have gone against type for most of the roles in this movie,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. I can't. It's hard for me to be mean, but this movie, I didn't get what it was going for. I don't understand why certain scenes were there. It just didn't work, and I didn't know what to take from it when I was walking away from it. I really didn't. And it's very rare that I ever see a movie where I just feel like something completely misses the mark, but this completely misses the mark.
Okay. And how do you feel about our favorite person, Jennifer Lawrence in Red Sparrow?
This is going to be like a run-on joke. Well, to add to that joke, this is now my movie where I compare other movies to.
Okay.
So so Gringo was better than Red Sparrow. So that's how I feel about it. That's my level now. I walk out of every movie now and I say it wasn't as bad as Red Sparrow. And the reason for that is that this movie starts off another movie that's based on a book that maybe just shouldn't have been turned into a movie. Mm-hmm. It starts off intense. Like there's this whole ballet dancing thing, and I don't want to spoil it, but it's the best scene in the movie. Like it hooks you for the first 5 minutes. I'm like, damn, this movie is going to be amazing. And then
it slides downhill.
And then it dives into this weird, like, act of seduction where she goes to, like, this school where they teach her how to seduce. And, like, all it is like gratuitous nudity for about, like, a half the movie.
Oh.
Where, like you see everything. I mean, and Jennifer Lawrence is beautiful. But I will say that, it was so unnecessary. Because then when you get into the last act, you feel like, okay, so there's buildup, right? You think like, okay, so she's got there's part of that that has to be used in the third act, and it's not used. So it's like there's this level of like this sexual seduction thing going on, and then you go into like this spy movie and who's going to backstab who and who's tricking who. And by the time that like it comes to that reveal, first of all, it's not believable. And it's not that surprising. You're just kind of like, okay, I'm glad, but let's move on. Okay. And I just wanted it to end. And one final thing that I have to say for actors, and I mean, there's some great actors in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like you have Jeremy Irons in this film as well.
Mm-hmm.
The accents are terrible. And I mean, embarrassingly so. I... I know I'm such a brutal, honest person.
You are going in. You are going in. But I'm about to join you on the next one.
Okay,
though.
Okay.
Because go ahead.
No. I just don't know what they were going for with Fred Sparrow. I really don't. And it's just it's a waste of talent. I mean, Joel Edgerton, Jennifer Lawrence, Jeremy Irons, like great cast. It's just like, I don't know. It just like seems like they were like, hey, you guys did. It's directed by Francis Lawrence, who did The Hunger Games, the last couple. And, you know, those kind of lost momentum, too. And I was like, okay, this is going to be something different for him. And I was hoping that it was going to be great. And it just was really disappointing. This is by far my least favorite film of 2018 so far.
Ooh, okay. And that's saying something because we're 3 months in.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to go in on Thoroughbreds, but I want y'all to watch this trailer real quick.
We have a business proposition for you.
I'm being foolish.
It's the worst fake crying I've ever seen. She's just using the technique.
A what?
Technique.
Holy Amanda, this is my stepdad, Mark.
How long are you here, Amanda?
My mom's gonna pick me up around midnight.
Midnight's late for us. I'll call your mom. She can come pick you up now.
She's busy.
Doing what?
Chemotherapy.
And we can stop the trailer right there because you know what? This movie... it was crazy as hell.
It was.
I was looking at... first of all, when I saw the trailer, and I just picked a little clip from the trailer, but when I watched the whole trailer in its entirety, I thought it was going to be a film about horses, and I love horses, because the film is called Thoroughbreds.
Right.
So I'm thinking it's a film about horses. No, it's a film about this one girl who's crazy as hell, this other girl who's kind of, that has a lot of money and way too much time on her hands, and at some point, they decide that they're going to commit a murder, and it just... It takes these twists and turns that are just crazy. But the young lady that plays Lily.
Are you talking about Anna?
Anya Taylor-Joy?
Yeah, Anya.
She's thebomb.com. She is wonderful. And I love her because she does more with no expression on her face than anybody I've ever seen in my life. She's really, really good.
Did you see The Witch?
I didn't.
That's where she started.
Oh, okay.
And she was great in that.
Because it was The Witch was a horror movie,
yes,
right?
Yes, I know.
So, you know, I'm not seeing nobody's horror movie. You know, disclaimer, you will never hear me talk about on Black Tomatoes about a horror movie. Scott can talk about that, or we bring somebody else in to talk about it, but you will never hear the Curvy Critic talk about a horror film.
Talk about
film.
Get Out.
Well, that was different.
I know,
and I was closing my eyes
on
that one, too. Like, that wore me out. But this movie, I have conflicted feelings about Thoroughbreds because... you know what it was like? It was like watching a car crash that you know you shouldn't be watching, but it went. I can't. And I'm a huge Focus Feature fan. I usually like all of their films, but this one had me going like this, like the little dog that hears a sound that's kind of off. I don't know what to say about it.
You know, it's funny. This movie came out at Sundance 2017, and it kind of had a nice run at the festival circuit. It's played at a lot of different festivals.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see it at Sundance. I saw it at AFI Fest.
Oh.
And I really admire the acting in this movie. I mean, I really do. I mean, Olivia Cooke and Anya are just fantastic.
They're great.
The deadpan look on their face and
they're
the witty
great.
One-liners and the dark comedy.
I don't have no problem with the acting. None. None. The acting was, like I said, it was on point, but I was like...
Well, would it make you feel better knowing that it was supposed to be a play?
No.
Okay. Because it was supposed to be a play.
So did you like it or not like it?
I'm mixed on it, too. I mean, it's one of those movies where I appreciated the dark sense of humor of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed the performances. I just kind of felt like when it came to the end, I was kind of like, well, that's done.
Exactly. And we're going to be done with the review on that one. That was a nice little segue. So, again... Thank y'all for joining us for this edition of Black Tomatoes. It was our pleasure to inform and educate you about the films, the new releases, the film festival stuff, and everything that's happening. I am Carla Renata. You can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. And where can we find you, Scott?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Other Scott M. And check me out on WeLiveEntertainment.com.
Great. See y'all next week. And remember, go to iTunes and listen to us as well. Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio. Instagram me at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.